Evidence Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this March the 24th on the West Coast, now March the 25th on the East Coast, and in the Central Time Zone. We'd like to welcome those listening in on Wind Talkers Radio Network around the world as well, and we appreciate you helping us spread the word around the planet. Well, where do we start? If you got any glimpse of what they're reporting on mainstream media, now they're talking about moving in to Syria. Well, isn't that strange? You know, they're surrounding Iran. It doesn't take a genius. Actually, it doesn't even take a McDonald's employee to see what's going on. They're gearing up to take over Iran. We can see that happening. And you ask why? Well, why do they go into Iraq? Why do they go into Afghanistan? Why have they precipitated uprisings and upheavals and an overthrow of the Mubarak government that they put in place when Anwar Sadat was assassinated many years ago? Likewise, they dealt with Saddam Hussein for a number of years, and when he wouldn't play ball with George H.W. Bush, they went in there and took him out. They're doing the same thing with Muammar Gaddafi, and we'll probably see the same thing unless we start speaking out against what's going on. And I mean speaking out with force, with reason, and intention to see all of this insanity, all of this madness end. This is, in short, a reflection of our life and times.
Yeah.
from his album Illusions. That was none other than George Duke, Life and Times. It's rather ironic. George Duke produced that song, if I remember correctly. It came out around January of 1989, about 22 years ago. And the message is as fresh as if he released that recording today. Consider that. I've been staying away from the news lately, but there's a story that I just couldn't resist sharing with you before we bring on tonight's guests. Jim and Bubba were standing at the base of a flagpole at the corner of Tammy and Maine in Bowling, Texas, looking up. A woman walked by and asked what they were doing. "We're supposed to find the height of the flagpole," said Bubba, "but we don't have a ladder." The woman took a wrench from her purse, loosened a few bolts, and laid the pole down. Then she took a tape measure from her pocket, took a measurement, announced 18 feet 6 inches, and walked away. Jim shook his head and laughed. "Ain't that just like a woman? We ask for the height, and she gives us the length." Bubba and Jim are currently working for the federal government as engineers. Thought I'd share that with you. Well, on a more serious note, we're going to continue our what's becoming a weekly roundtable discussion. This is outside the box kind of radio, so get ready, fasten your seatbelts, as I welcome back to Evident Footprints two guests. The first one hosts a website. Many of you have seen it. If you haven't, you need to write this web address down, educate-yourself.org. Educate-yourself.org. Ken Adachi. Mr. Adachi, welcome to the show.
Hi, Don. Thank you very much. I'm glad to be on again.
And let's bring in our other guest here so we can all say hello to each other at the same time. He is an essayist whose work is featured at educateyourself.org. And he's also a metaphysician and intuitive and very concerned about what's going on in the world. And he shares his impressions and his knowledge with many people around the world. His name is Zuranova Star Livingstone. C.S., welcome to the show.
Hello, Don. Doing fine right now.
All right.
How are you doing?
Oh, well, it's Life and Times. you can kind of feel my energy in that song, can't you?
Yes.
Yeah. It's intense, but we have to vent. We have to let all this stuff go. And I'm in this mode of wanting to create something anew. I don't know about you guys. Ken, do you wanna tell us what you've been up to and what your perceptions are of what's going on?
Well, I think I like to focus my part of the talk on the situation in Japan, only because I want to emphasize something that I haven't noticed many other websites discussing. I'm sure some are bringing up the same points that I'm concerned about, but I want to reiterate something that I've posted onto my website since the beginning of the Japan event, which began with an earthquake on March the 11th. Mm-hmm. I put up an article the next day, March 12th, in which I called into question that the earthquake and the resulting tsunami were not a natural event. I intuitively felt that way when I first heard the news, but I got a confirmation from Z.S. Livingstone and others whose, let's say, insights or psychic ability is far superior to mine, and they confirmed what my feeling was. My gut feeling was it was a manufactured event. So I also, in talking with ZS, found it hard to believe or hard to accept the idea that this nuclear reactors should suddenly have these serious malfunctions, which cause a, what we're told in the media, to be a buildup of hydrogen gas, which caused an explosion which blew the roof off one of the buildings at the Daiichi facility in Fukushima. Logic was telling me there's something wrong here with this picture. And again, in talking to ZS and others, who I'll go into in a little bit more detail a bit later, I got the idea that the whole event was a setup. The earthquake, and of course the resulting tsunami, and the nuclear reactors didn't strike me as being truly, let's say, accidental events, or you know, they were provoked in both cases. And let's see, today's the 24th, so the 12 days of media reaction since the March 11th event has been one of largely overreaction, in my opinion. And this, too, and I find that the media overreaction, overhyping of the
Can you hear me?
Yes, can you?
Yeah, you broke up a little bit. We had about 5 seconds of silence there.
Oh, really? Oh, so, my God.
So you said, I found, and then your sound went away.
Okay, and then I found that the stories that I was reading in the media and hearing on the radio, et cetera, seemed to be an exaggeration of the facts. And for instance, I wrote an article, I'm trying to remember, I probably put it up March 19th, in which I had heard something on a local FM radio station, KPFK, which is it's one of the Pacifica radio stations, sort of a leftist orientated station. And I heard a couple people being interviewed. One was a woman who located in Tokyo. She was not Japanese, but she was a member of a group. She was part of this radio show that they do called Free Speech Radio. And her report seemed to be rather dire. She had indicated in the course of her report that the situation is in Tokyo now, a considerable distance from the Daiichi reactor, perhaps 250 kilometers, 280 kilometers, that the radiation, background radiation level had risen 22% on the day she was reporting. And what I did is I went to Japanese websites that actually recorded and showed you what the background radiation numbers were. So I found one that reported from Tokyo, from Shinjuku, which is a district of Tokyo. And I went back to the dates prior to the March 11th earthquake event, and then up to the date I was writing the article, which is March 19th. And I found that only during a brief period, for actually a matter of minutes, on one date, March 15th, that the background radiation level in Tokyo had risen to 0.8 microsieverts. Now, one microsievert is greater than 0.8. And that was the highest reading that was recorded for that moment of that day. The average for that day, the 24-hour average, of background radiation Tokyo for March 15th, which was the highest reading of all, date of all, I should say, was 0.1 microsieverts. Now, the normal background radiation before the March 11th event fluctuated between 0.04 to 0.05 microsieverts on average, at least at the data that I was looking at, maybe 2 weeks worth of data. It's possible that in other times it rises somewhat above that. But that was the norm just prior to the earthquake event. Did you want to say something, Don?
Oh, I was just agreeing with you. Have you noticed that the media has been virtually silent about this, although the alternative media is saying that these dangerous radiation levels are coming towards the United States? In fact, they should be near or at the West Coast right now.
I was going to go there. I wanted to develop the story from the Japan perspective and then take it to the current situation in which they're
Can I ask you then, are they talking about additional problems with meltdowns? Because we're hearing stories there's a fifth reactor that's experiencing a meltdown.
I don't think there has been, quote, a meltdown in any case at any of the reactors. Okay. I've read a lot of statements of concern or fear for the possibility of a meltdown, but CS can correct me if I'm wrong in this, but to my knowledge, there's been no meltdown of any reactor.
Okay. Just wanted to ask that in light of what's being reported.
Yes. Yes. So just getting back to the immediate days surrounding the event, that the individuals I was referring to on KPFK radio, one was an authority on nuclear reactors. He apparently was in the industry for a long time. His name, I think, was Arnie Gundersen. And much of what he said I found reasonable. But he also, though, said things that I felt to be alarmist in nature. And this woman, I forget her name, but she was definitely had an alarmist posture. She was clearly an activist who was opposed to nuclear energy uses, you know, nuclear energy for energy production, et cetera. So she went into the story with a bias, but her statements were definitely unreasonable and alarmist. Now, people who are not familiar with the facts surrounding nuclear ionizing radiation are largely paralyzed by the fear of the word radiation. And Zias will mention a little bit later in his talk that this whole drill that we went through in the 50s, at least, because of the Cold War, there was an enormous amount of indoctrination to have us all trembling in our boots at the mention of the word radiation. And most people that I've, you know, casual conversation with, don't know squat about nuclear ionizing radiation.
Mm-hmm.
They're simply paralyzed by the word radiation.
They did tell us, though, that the school desks were one safe place to hide under.
Right. Right.
You know, right. When do you think of that sanity? Oh, my goodness.
Exactly. So I think the Japanese government has been much more accurate and measured in their response. Now, the U.S. government spokesman, NRC spokesman, et cetera, came out of the box almost immediately and was critical of the Japanese government, suggesting that they're downplaying the danger. And the U.S. government certainly wanted to upplay the danger. And you could see that in all their posturings and their statements. This event, the earthquake, tsunami, and the nuclear reactor explosions was and is a setup, just as much as 9/11 was a setup and Katrina was a setup. These are not natural events, and we know that the people who are running the show, trying to bring in the New World Order in our government, wish to generate fear, hysteria, and anxiety. I might recall the 2009 bird flu pandemic psyops that we all went through. Again, the spokesman from our country, the CDC, Richard whatever his name is, Margaret Chan of the UN, the Alert 6 red flags going up. Oh, my God, the bird flu is going to take us all out, or swine flu, whatever was the dire calamity of the moment. I guess it was swine.
Actually, it was both. You know, and they were even making claims that it was probably going to cross over to frogs.
Yes.
You know,
you recall that during the spring when it first came up in 2009, March, April, we talked about it.
Mm-hmm.
And we had some radio shows, and you, I, and plenty of people were saying, this is BS. This is hysteria manufacturing. There was no crisis. They were just trying to manufacture. And as we went into the summer, and then finally we got, if you recall, the fall and winter of 2009, the all-out push to panic people into getting their wonderful swine flu shot or their seasonal flu shot. And how many people, A, died? How many people got severely ill like that and almost died like that cheerleader gal? I forget her name.
Desiree
Jennings,
I think. Okay. Yes.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
And we said then that this is a setup to panic people, because this is what the Illuminati does. When they want to get us into a war, they create the scenario to get the common man's blood up. They did it in World War I. They did it in World War II. Pearl Harbor, of course, was the attack on Pearl Harbor was known by President Roosevelt at least 6 weeks before the attack. He committed treason by, A, not informing the public. He committed treason by sending the bulk of the Pacific Fleet into Pearl Harbor instead of leaving him in San Diego, where he knew he would be putting him in harm's way. He wanted the attack to unfold so they can use that as a pretext to get into World War II, which England, Churchill, the English arm of the Illuminati, wanted us to participate in this war. So this latest false flag event, if you want to call it that, in Japan is just that. We have to recognize it. And they're trying to create this fear, first among the Japanese people, who generally, compared to Americans, are not tuned into the New World Order game in general. Some folks know, first, the Japanese are extremely intelligent. There's no problem there. These people are sharp as that they come. But frankly, as a nation, they tend to, well, to put it frankly, have the sort of naivete that Americans might have had in the 50s or 60s, in which they, you know, would find it hard to believe that governments like the United States would betray their own people, such as they're doing, and all major governments of the world, including the people who control the Japanese government, are playing ball with the Illuminati. Most Japanese would find that very hard to accept, because they generally accept the, let's say, the cover story. And by and large, the Japanese government treats their people very well compared to the treatment that Americans get from, you know, the traitors running the show here. The government tends to be much more, honest, paternalistic perhaps, but they do care about their population much more than these folks who are running the show here care about Americans. So that's the emphasis that I wanted to point out here. I've gotten very important information from people who have real talent. One of them is on the show with us tonight, Zias Livingstone, and he'll reveal more in his part of the talk. But I have other people who communicate very important information that I don't, boast about or talk about on our website, because these people would become targets. I was recently targeted for a lot of negative activity by our friends in the government, and I know full well that if I was to, reveal who these folks are, that they would soon be under the gun too. So we don't do that in most cases. I don't even talk about what they've accomplished, but they detect many things from what we would call the ether. There is a way to access information. Jung called it the universal mind. Some people have the talent, including Z.S. Livingstone, to tune into a portion, or a large, in some cases a large portion, of this information so that when events happen, let's say a psychic impression is created and some people can receive these impressions. In fact, you, Don Nikoloff, have some serious ability in this regard as well. So those who are not familiar with the fact that communications can happen in other than third dimensional means should know that people who have talent can get important information. I hear some of that important information, and things can be done, and things have been done behind the scenes in which you're not going to know about it, because again, we don't want to bring problems to those who are affecting, let's say, neutralizing activities. I mentioned one team. I call them the etheric team. I don't want to identify specifically who these individuals are, but they have incredible talent and have done remarkable things. ZS might elaborate a bit on what they did as far as the events that transpired on March 11th. But because they're having, let's say, success, they've also become targeted. A very dark forces have been arrayed against them. And a great deal of ritualistic activity took place between March 20 and March 22. Again, ZS will elaborate on this and bring to focus that the dark side appears to be, let's say, controlling the conversation as far as mainstream and even alternative media with this excessive fear-mongering on the Japanese situation, you know, rolling blackouts and drinking water in the whole nine yards.
There's an intelligent planet and an intelligent comet coming here to planet Earth. One called Planet X or Nibiru, and the other is called Elenine. And this is wreaking havoc on the oceans. It's wreaking havoc on nuclear power plants.
Right.
I mean,
yes.
I'm,
that is very typical. As you know,
the story they're telling everybody.
Someone who's, let's say, promoted that Zeta Talk, Planet X, Nibiru information in the 90s, at least. And I finally realized that it was a psyops around mid-2002, and I wrote about it at the time, and I disavowed my connection with that website and that individual because I realized by that point I was played big time. And yes, if you listen to Coast to Coast, for instance, you will hear callers who will emphasize the Planet X scaremongering story from Zeta Talk, and you will hear the Armageddon types. I heard a fundamentalist religious fanatic about a week and a half ago saying that May 21 is going to be the end of the world. It's going to be Armageddon. It's going to all happen then. So George Norrie entertained this fellow for 15 or 20 or 30 minutes or so. So you're going to get a lot of that if you just listen to those type of shows. And if you're listening to reading mainstream media, it seems like things are really going to be bad in Japan, and let's all get scared and let's all hoard food and let's not have any ships coming from Japan enter our port, and all this incredible insanity that people who actually look at the facts, examine the evidence, can see that's hugely overblown. Now, the last thing I'll say, and then I'll yield to ZS's portion. The latest information about contaminated drinking water, iodine, radioactive iodine, et cetera, and the moving clouds to the U.S., which you alluded to, et cetera. This is my gut feeling, and ZS backs me on this, and this other individual who I got very important information from the beginning of this event has been giving me this information almost daily, concurred with me. I just talked with that party today. That, in my opinion, that the radiation for the drinking water had nothing to do with Fukushima or any of the nuclear reactors. My gut feeling is that it sabotaged. A certain amount of radioactive iodine was added to the water supplies of some areas, not all, but, and I think this is what accounts for those readings, because they needed to keep this scare story going. And since I don't think there's going to be a meltdown, I don't think there's going to be further explosions, they need to jack up the story by creating the hype about the drinking water, number one, and the large amount of radiation in the seawater, again, is not from this plant. I believe it's been imported into that area, because this party who I'm talking about, who's been alerting me to this information almost daily since March 11, was picking up readings of metal containers underwater heading towards the Japan area that this party indicated had high radiation, and couldn't figure out what it was. And I asked, well, is it a nuclear? No, it's not a nuke. It's not a nuclear sub. This party, this person guesstimated there's some sort of extraterrestrial alien connection here, that surely the U.S. government is playing a role, probably the Navy, the ones who usually...
Well, there's an underwater base in the Philippine Sea to the east of Japan, to the very north northeast of Japan, and okay, several hundred miles.
Okay. Underwater. So this party was picking up both definitely there's an extraterrestrial component to this. There's a planted in the seafloor nuclear device component to the, certainly to the mega earthquake on March 11th. And the atmospheric radiation level, this party agrees to me, has more to do with chemtrail spraying. Now, this same party has been reporting to me for 5 years now that he is picking up radiation. Many, and this person said this to me 4.5 years ago, I'm picking up radioactive iodine. And this party continually told me that he's picking up radiation readings from chemtrails. So again, I'm thinking the radiation that they're talking about wafting into the U.S. are probably seeded there by chemtrails, and I believe that the amount of vapor, smoke, steam, etc. from Fukushima, too low and too low in altitude and too low in amount and intensity to cause a reading elevation here. So I'll end with that. I just want to point out that I feel that the websites that are playing up this intensity of this reaction are playing into the hands of the Illuminati big time. And for instance, I'm a little bit saddened that Jeff Rentz is running these stories so headlong. I've sent him a number of essays in which I've tried to offer my take on the sabotaging nature of these events, and he hasn't put up one of them. But everyone who's got a doom and gloom, the sky is falling article, you'll definitely find up there. So I want to use this platform as a way to emphasize this notion that I believe these events are orchestrated, and they are due to sabotage, and none of this evolved naturally.
Now, I do want to I do want to make one comment, and that's that I sense all of these things going on. I could say with a certainty that it's not HARP that created this. But then again, we assume it's automatically the American government that's behind it, the black ops side, CIA stuff. And other countries have this technology too. Russia has this technology. It's quite possible that the reason we're experiencing and have been experiencing quakes, say, like in the state of Arkansas, is that the Russians are using their version of the technology as well. We don't know that for a certainty, but it all seems to play into the oil industry and these changes that they're making in the nuclear industry. They have on tap, I've read and heard from various sources, to build an additional 45 nuclear power plants in the United States. And my understanding is that the construction of the facilities in Japan were not the most advanced methods, and the building materials and things that had to have been done were done sort of sloppily to cut corners and save money, or take the money and put it elsewhere.
Yes, ZS so, will emphasize this point. First, thank you for reminding me about the joint effort, because as we know, I tend to focus on the U.S. government's role, but you're absolutely right, Don, and thanks for adding that. At the level of the controllers, Russia Illuminati works hat in glove with British, Israeli, French, et cetera. So the Illuminati are one club at the top, and you're absolutely right. To the general public, you know, we're enemies and this and that. That's a lot of hooey at the highest end. Of course, that doesn't mean they're not in competition with each other. They are.
Yeah.
And they have their own intramural fights, if you will.
They've thrown their pie in the oven, and they're right. They're jockeying for the largest slice when right. It comes out.
Right. Basically. I'll just mention your last point about the reactors. Yes, they're GE reactors. GE stands for General Electric. Who founded General Electric? J.P. Morgan. Top Illuminati Rothschild agents was the founder of General Electric, and nothing has changed as to who's buttering the bread since his days. So I'll close with that last statement, but thank you for your addition, Don.
Well, I could add to that J.P. Morgan was the original financier of Wardenclyffe, which was Nikola Tesla's plan on establishing a worldwide communication system, wireless.
And electricity supply system.
Well, that was going to be down the road after.
Mm-hmm.
But he had already discovered how to transmit electricity without wires, and he discovered many other anomalies, which I've covered on past shows with Jim Murray.
Mm-hmm.
But Morgan certainly didn't want any sort of power production that could not be metered. That was his biggest concern. And that still is their concern, you see. They know that there's an endless supply of oil. They know that.
Correct.
Okay. So they're jockeying to move into something, and they'll keep the oil going. Don't forget about that. But they're jockeying to have a handle on the next what are going to be required power systems, as if they know best. As they're destroying the earth, they're telling us they know best as to what's good for mankind. And it's somewhat a dysfunctional gathering of statements, if you will.
Yes.
To say that we're out of oil, but they're manufacturing virtually every product that we get has some amount of petroleum in it at one stage or another.
Yes, we've said it many times, but every aspect of the philosophy, thinking, mindset, and conduct of the dark side, you know, the entire Illuminati and all their satanic pals and cohorts and their alien overlords, we should never forget that. The very nature of, let's say, the dark side is destruction. You have to keep that in mind.
Mm-hmm.
The nature of the light side is construction, building, life, upward movement, and the nature of the dark side is downward movement, destruction. So everything they do has an ulterior destructive overlay to it. In all cases, it's the nature of the beast.
See, this is all leaning towards cap and trade. So you have to presume on some level Council on Foreign Relations, the Triad Commission, all these huge corporate conglomerates, and the UN are all involved in this. There's no doubt, because they all have their fingers in that pie. So let's bring ZS on, if you would. I have a comment I want to make in a little while about prayer, but Go ahead, ZS. Give us the scoop.
Following on what Ken's been expressing, in communication with the person who is getting these readings from Japan, there was very little reading from the Daiichi nuclear reactors. And I believe that all the excess radioactive iodine and cesium is now depleted, and that the excess heat from the rods that were pulled out on the earthquake on the 11th is now being dissipated, and the rods are just have cooled down considerably. They're still warm because the uranium plus the other nucleotides in the zirconium tubes will still be emitting heat, and so they have to be in water. But the excess heat is now gone. It's probably been gone for about at least 5 days. Other than the breach of where the tactical nuke breached one of the cores through 7 inches of steel, and there was a small fire there, that would be a carbon block fire. And most of the soot coming off that carbon block fire would be carbon dioxide, and most of that would not be radioactive, because other than a few nucleotides left over from the intense heat reactions over the past 30, 40 years that the reactor was operating. I believe that there's virtually no radiation coming from the plant, period, now. And that's exactly what they were predicting within days of the earthquake, where with the earthquake, all the rods are automatically pulled out and put into water to cool down.
Now, had you heard the story, ZS, that there were some American ships nearby?
Yes, aircraft carrier. Yes.
Yes. Okay. And then they were dumping. Well, there was a statement made by the mainstream media that they were going to curtail this meltdown or this heating up of the reactor.
They volunteered to put water onto the
And they announced that it was light water, and then afterwards, maybe the next day, I saw on mainstream, I think it was CNN, showing clips of a chopper flying, but you couldn't tell where it was flying. They just showed close-ups of a chopper dumping water, and it looked kind of stupid the way they did it, because they were dumping it everywhere. They weren't just dumping it in one particular location, and it, would that even be the proper way to deal with the situation?
It would splash around. It wouldn't go. You have to put it into containment building.
Yeah,
into the containment building, to the top section above the reactor core where the rods are.
Yeah, that's the type of theatrics that they had on TV. You couldn't even tell what country the chopper was in. You understand? Yeah. It was just a picture of a tight shot of a chopper going from east to west across the screen, and as it went up a little bit, and then it started dumping water, and it was just spraying everywhere. And I thought, how ridiculous this whole thing is. I don't think this is how it's done, but go ahead.
And the prevailing winds from that 250 kilometers northeast of Tokyo is away from Tokyo. Nine times out of 10, it's blowing out to sea. Other than the tactical nuke, the four tactical nukes to use to blow the tops off the containment buildings, very little radiation escaped. Virtually none of the uranium escaped.
Now, have you been in contact with people there that are actually taking measurements? Or
no, I have not. Through dowsing, through spiritual communication, through remote viewing, dream state travel, intuitive flashes, plus a lot of left brain reading of
data.
I do have some scientific training, so I'm combining the right and left hemispheres and balancing out the information. I wrote a piece that went on to educate yourself realizing how much hype was going into, and I could see the psyop of the fear of radiation going back through the whole Cold War.
Mm-hmm.
And so that piece is on educateyourself.org right now. And there is a lot of fear being pumped, and it's needless.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they just had a tsunami, and then they're dumping more water. You know, it just seemed insane, the whole thing. It's a different situation if you're going to, like you said, go into the containment plant and deal with the issue on a local level. Unless the thing was blown wide open at the top, you see. But then again, did a roof really blow off the building? Well, we saw images of that. But do we know that that was that facility? See, a lot of questions. You know, when you study what they're showing us, it still raises questions as to where is this? When did they take this video? How is it out there so quickly? They just took it, and suddenly the whole world has it. You know.
So. Yeah, I agree that just tuning into it, we're getting very low radiation, so it could be that there is no radiation there to start with, period, other than that which is planted there.
Mm-hmm. Then they make these claims that potassium iodide is virtually off all the shelves. No one can get it now anywhere, and then a few people will post something on a website. We have 600 doses of this, and they give a price and shipping, and already people are trying to make money off of it.
Yes.
And I haven't spoken to anyone that's bought any. You know, why is it off the shelves?
I bought some last summer in Vancouver. I was told to buy some intuitively, and I haven't used it.
Mm-hmm.
I've used just a few drops to get... find out what it's like, but at this point, I don't need it.
Well, you know, the financial side of this whole thing, the earthquake and the tsunami has at least raised the price tag to somewhere around $300 billion, I heard. Now, I don't know if it's more than that or less than that, but it's seems to be fulfilling some kind of a purpose if there is human responsibility for these events on any level. Someone is trying to, let's say, for example, it was a natural earthquake, and then other activities joined in. It's very easy then to cover up the cause of things, because you can always blame it on the earthquake. And you can blame the tsunami on the earthquake as well. And I know that you're looking at the different aspects and thoroughly, and still one wonders why the Japanese, you see. And I think you and I touched on that last week on the show when we were discussing that there was likely, in regard to, let's say, economic sabotage by foreign countries, they were likely to start introducing some more advanced technologies that were going to be very inexpensive and answers to many of our ecological problems. But if it can't be metered, if it can't be controlled, or if they're not the first ones coming out with it, the Illuminati and all of their shills, known as the Committee of 300, are going to do their darndest to stop whoever is trying to do it. And they'll go after a whole country.
Yes, they will.
To do that. That possibility is always there. That's what they're doing in Iraq. That's what they did in Afghanistan. That's what they precipitated in Egypt. And now Libya. And now hinting that Syria is next. It's quite obvious the area they're surrounding. When, you know, by doing this, why is it suddenly that the people in Syria are concerned about Mubarak leaving Egypt, or the problems that Gaddafi's having? They're
all being orchestrated.
Getting the information as to what's going on around the rest of the world. Go ahead.
Yes. You also gave me a little bit of homework. I was read Fair Delance by Thomas Bearden. And in 1996, he wrote that there was free energy devices and power units being developed by corporations in Japan. And so that's 15 years ago now.
Mm-hmm.
But the technology, of course, goes back almost to 1902, mm-hmm. Tesla's discovery. And probably to the 1880s, 1890s, because other people working with magnets had magnetic motors, over unity magnetic motors, Keeley or John Worrell Keeley. Also another person funded, then unfunded by J.P. Morgan. And so there's also rumors that people had invented electric motors right back to the 1850s, with 1860s in England and in Europe, and mainly free energy things. And that's actually when the start of the attack against perpetual motion machines started, where the whole mindset was invented by the Illuminati to keep people from looking at higher sources of energy coming mm-hmm. in from the next dimension.
Nikola Tesla designed an electric car that ran off of a hoop sitting in the back seat. He was just taking the electricity out of the air, so to speak, for visualization. It's a little bit more complicated than that, but he was running the car on that. And ironically, the Henry Ford family were driving those cars. They even built one out of hemp. You know?
Another product made illegal.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we're talking about industrial hemp. But the point is that it was a 100% eco-friendly car. And they had to suppress that. So, you know,
of course, Henry Ford's first motors were ethanol based.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're coming back to that aspect of cap and trade. This idea that they're going to charge people for emitting carbon dioxide. It's a process that occurs when you Natural. Exhale. Okay. The ruse of putting a catalytic converter on an automobile changed what was carbon monoxide coming out of the exhaust, which is actually useful to many of the plants, trees and plants, and other green things, can convert that very easily. Now, instead, what they have coming out of the cars with these catalytic converters is
more CO2.
Well, no, it's a hydrochloric acid. It's a very caustic acid that gets in your lungs and burns your lungs out. And not to mention what it does to the plant life that it comes into contact with, especially if a plant is lives in a basic environment, you know. So it's putting everything out of kilter. And these things, you know, they're talking about wind power. Well, with solar energy and wind power, they don't produce any more than 3% of all the electricity consumed or produced for power production. That right. Ultimately, that is the whole concern. We're not just collecting energy and having it. It's about creating power and getting work, and the power is applied to get work done. That's the simple equation of this, you see. But they're into building more of these plants. It's ridiculous. And when I follow the trail, and I just add this because it does show that there are some conspiratorial elements at work here. When I follow the trail of a particular person or a particular company, it's amazing how it takes me from Japan to San Francisco and to Libya. And I look at what's going on right now in all three of those places, and I see connections. See? Mm. So geopolitically, there are a lot of financial games going on. And this is to get total control of these programs, which are touted as public programs, but we pay for, and then they steal the money, and they play monopoly with the stock market and the Federal Reserve and the U.S. Treasury. Right. Or more than that, it's like the great train robbery. They're just stealing the money. Okay. So
in order to steal the nation or steal the will of the people.
Yes. Happening everywhere too. It's not just right. happening here.
I read somewhere in the last 2 weeks that, Japan's debt, which is actually higher per capita than most countries in the world, is actually owed to the Japanese people. The Japanese banks and the people hold bonds on the debt of the Japan government. And that is not what the Illuminati wants. They want the lines of credit going to Europe, and that the excess money or the stolen money would go, or diverted money would go to their banks in Europe. And so attacking Japan could be punishment for that practice. Similarly, during the 1800s, I'm seeing this whole thing in North Africa is a repeat of the time after Napoleon, where all the countries which were getting money from the central banks in London and Paris and Berlin and Rome were defaulting on their loans, and willfully. Greece did it, Turkey did it, Egypt, the king of Egypt at that time did it. And automatically, what would follow would be Napoleon's army or somebody else's army in order to take over that country. And that was the last period of colonization from the 1600s to 1900s. But most of those northern African countries were taken over by France, first by Napoleon, then by Napoleon III, then Napoleon V, and then the French Foreign Legion. And the French Foreign Legion, like the U.S. Marine Corps, is the private mercenaries of the central bankers. It'd be interesting to dig back into that history of that from Napoleon through to Napoleon V. The sequence of the countries that were taken down, and I'm wondering if it's exactly the same sequence, because Napoleon did go into Egypt and into Libya.
Mm-hmm. Well, these things worked in the past. You know, they tend to like to reuse them again.
Right.
That's sort of what they're doing in Washington right now. They have another character that's acting just like Hitler did. The only difference is instead of holding his hand up in the air, he's sort of like a puppy with its tail between its legs, just totally indifferent during the national anthem or a pledge of allegiance or anything to, well, he's not from this country. No one who knows expects this guy to act like he's an American. But to tell you the truth, he doesn't even act like he's human. You know, in fact, let me share a quick story with you. I talk about the power of prayer and how we can change things. This was sent to me. Okay. I'm quoting now the situation. In church Sunday, I overheard the lady in the pew next to me saying a short private prayer. It was so sweet and sincere that I just had to share with you. But here's the prayer. Dear Lord, this has been a tough 12 months. You have taken my favorite actor, Patrick Swayze, my favorite actress, Farrah Fawcett, my favorite musician, Michael Jackson, my favorite salesman, Billy Mays, and my favorite athlete, Steve McNair. I just wanted you to know that my favorite president is Barack Obama. Amen. Anyway, yeah, that was a good moment to sneak that in. So, you know, they say one thing and they do exactly the opposite. They're raising the stakes in these wars. And they're telling us, oh, Germany's pulling out and, you know, this country doesn't like this. They know what the game is that's going on. Why go there in the first place? Why pretend? Is it because you want to see who's going to make the next move? Or you're trying to figure out which one of us is turning against the others? You know, kind of situation. No honor among thieves. And we can just look at what's going on. We can see what their plan is. We don't need to really pay attention to the little details that come out through, especially through the media, because these are just stories to divert our attention away from what is really going on. I keep seeing this over and over and over again. Shootings. When you think of all the places and things going on that have the word Columbia in them, it's amazing. I mean, you've got the District of Columbia or some derivation of the word Columbia. You had Columbine High School. You have CBS involved in all of this stuff on some deep levels. When you do some of the investigation that I've been doing recently, you're going to be amazed to see who is actually, you know, doing the deeds in some areas. One name will lead you, if you dig deep enough, it'll lead you to the whole web of who's working together here and doing these things against us. But the big question is, what do we do? I've stated this on a number of shows recently, and anyone who listens on a regular basis knows my thoughts in that area. We can't try to salvage this system. This system was designed to fail from the beginning. It's their system, you know. But what do we do to overcome all of this?
Well, I just had an email a few days ago from a lady in the Middle East.
Ken, can you speak up a little louder, please?
I had an email from a lady in the Middle East, which I answered a couple days ago, and she responded back, and I'm continuing my conversation with her, and she's essentially asking my views about the uprising in the Middle East, et cetera. And what I'm telling her in my latest reply, which I'll probably post later today or early tomorrow, is that she was asking about high technology and how the manipulators use high technology to harm us, etc. I said, yes, of course, they have all the hidden secret high tech stuff that they're used to manufacture earthquakes, tornadoes, etc., etc. So we know all that. However, we have our heads in our hearts. And if we use them wisely and intelligently, we can defeat these people. And we are defeating these forces, let's say. Their numbers are being thinned. ZS didn't go into detail, but there are, let's say, behind-the-scenes efforts that have been scoring big time. I mentioned some of it a year and a half or so ago, perhaps 2 years ago. I mentioned that the etheric resistance began to put a dent into the chemtrail operations. There's other operations that have been seriously damaged. So the ranks of the dark side have been thinning. And, of course, there's no one telling you about this, so you're most people are unaware of it. Take it on faith that as much dark that there's always an equal amount of light that will help offset the dark. Mm-hmm. And you got to keep that in mind. Use your head and your heart to maneuver around the Illuminati's agenda. Don't concede to it. Certainly don't give in to the fear. That's what they want more than anything. Fear and panic is their game. And unfortunately, because of the Japan hype and exaggeration and alarmism that's being promoted, obviously the Japanese people, who are, you know, not only in Japan, but they're all around the world, are greatly concerned. And I understand why, because they're accepting the reporting information as being the truth of the matter. And as I said earlier, most of this is due to sabotage and intentional. And as you say, the larger game is to economically put Japan on the ropes, because that's how you control a country, by making them dependent on you. So naturally, they would want to cause a lot of problems, so that suddenly Japan needs money. And who shows up when you need a lot of money? The International Monetary Fund, of course. So it's very transparent now. They play the same game with every country they try to you know, ruin. And now, and you remember what Iceland did not so long ago. They had originally given into the IMF game. They realized that they were being played. They decided to get out of it. So all countries need to, who are being manipulated so badly by the Illuminati, need to become aware of the game. I read an article tonight posted to Rents by Richard Sauter. I was a little skeptical when I read the title of the article. When I actually read the whole article, I was very much in favor of what he had to say. He says there's a very dark machine, as he put it, which I interpret as being an alien manipulators, behind orchestrating these events. And unless he's saying, listen, we're toast unless we wake up and recognize what's being done to us. Because once you wake up to this manipulation, the type that I talked about, ZS talked about, you talked about, if enough people recognize that, the 100th monkey effect takes place. And people will intuitively maneuver around the storm, will intuitively act in a way that doesn't assist the destructive agenda. And that, I think, is what listeners to this show have to keep in mind. The whole world is being manipulated through the media to think in a certain avenue. That avenue is one of fear, trepidation, anxiety, worry about not having enough food, not having drinking water, not being able to bathe your child, all these fears that they're imposing on the Japanese population now. It's being manufactured.
Mm-hmm. And now, I heard something. Did you hear anything, Ken, about a report on some software or a chip? I think it's software, actually.
They're talking about the StuckX virus, perhaps?
Yes.
Yeah, I believe that did play a role in preventing those reactors from those bilge pumps, I should say, from working. I think that was, you know, the government, of course, developed those things, and they tell us in the media they're using it on Iran and so forth. But in fact, there's an even chance that, yes, that was used to prevent that reactor from shutting down properly, which, quote, led to the buildup of the hydrogen, mm-hmm. which caused the explosion. That's the cover story. Yes,
that virus. That virus becomes part of the whole network as well. Mm-hmm. That information takes over the other computers without them having done anything. In other words, it's set to do whatever they program it to do. And in that case, if you start seeing these events occur in other places, you remember Iceland, you remember the fail of the banks, and then suddenly they have a volcano going off?
Absolutely.
And it destroyed the airlines industry for several weeks?
It's all so convenient when these quote, these events cascade one on top of the other. Earthquake, tsunami, reactor goes off. Come on, give me a break. This is a setup.
And there's usually a shooting that occurs, some kind of serial shooting. Mm-hmm. We had three events that occurred at Virginia Tech, a mass shooting a beheading in the school cafeteria and the shooting of two microbiologist students who were camping. It's very strange. And then of course, I think right after that event, the last event, you may have had Hurricane Katrina. I had to have to look at the timing.
Yeah, that was 2005. Yeah, but we're just trying to emphasize the idea that these events are manufactured, and it's typically a cascade to maximize fear, anxiety, and panic. The desire to create the panicky reaction is the point. If they succeed in causing a major earthquake in California or the New Madrid Fault, which they certainly plan to do, that I'm totally convinced of. Whether they succeed or not is another matter, because there are light forces doing something about this. Mm-hmm. But let's say they do succeed, it will be a cascade. It will be earthquake, nuclear reactor explosions, suitcase nuke goes off, something like that, okay? It won't be one event like Katrina. It'll be a cascade of events.
And then gas prices will jump up again.
Everything. Yeah. They'll do it all at once. Then, martial law, the whole nine yards. Whatever they are planning to do, they will try to present it as if one led to the other. In other words, earthquake naturally caused a tsunami. Earthquake naturally caused the reactors to malfunction, because they're, quote, near fault lines. I mean, they layer all of these stories in the newspapers before, during, and after the event. So people come to, quote, a logical conclusion, subconsciously at least. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, it makes sense. It's on an earth fault. Yeah, I guess so. It makes sense. Oh, yeah, I done. It's all being orchestrated.
Tail wagging the dog.
Mm-hmm. ZS, what do you see happening in the Middle East? Outside of what anything that's been reported, and keep in mind, I just heard this evening this first drop from the faucet, the first drip of the faucet, saying that there were problems developing in Syria.
Well, Syria has actually been a place where the CIA has been shipping people to be tortured to get the story that the CIA wants, and as well as Mubarak's Egypt, as well as what one time is happening in Yemen, and another time it was happening in Iraq with Saddam Hussein.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, in Iran, under the Shah of Iran, was a client state of the CIA. The SABAC there were regularly torturing the citizens and also doing it to people coming in from outside. So there's an extremely complex, many phase plan going here. Of course, the United States is now on a third front war. First of all, Afghanistan, then Iraq. Now it's got troops on the ground in Libya, and it's very likely that the troops were there right from the very start for the very first shootings. When the F-15 had a mechanical error and crashed, the Marines were there to grab the two flyers before anybody else got there, and they got there very, very quickly. And the mainstream media, they said there's a very robust search and rescue retrieval of downed flyers ability of the armed forces in the Mediterranean, but they're actually in Libya. And so, of course, it's all been game planned to control oil, control also, water. I read A. Truot's article today regarding the water canal, which Gaddafi had built from southern Libya ancient aquifers and transporting water to Benghazi and to Tripoli.
Well, they're taking water out of Lake Erie and some of the major rivers here in the United States. And right. And that's been tracked going to China as well. Plus, they're right. passing legislation along waterways that under the guise of preserving nature, like they really care, or they give a hoot about nature with all the destruction that they're meeting out over the planet. They tell us, oh, we have to avoid pollution while they're poisoning the environment with radiation, depleted uranium, biological and chemical weapons that they're using, technology that they're using to disrupt the basic foundation of nature. And then they turn around and try to blame it on us, stick us with the price tab.
Yeah. And the people.
Yes. You see, but see, these aren't people, are they?
They kind of shapeshift every once in a while.
That's a great response.
It's caught on film.
Yeah. You know, everything that I research in this regard leads me to defense and aerospace.
Right.
Okay. Every single thing that I research, every path that I follow, and it can be in a name and an email that they send, trying to chase me down the rabbit hole, you know, on a wild goose chase. No, right. I.
Well, one of the rebel or one of the forces loyal to Gaddafi going in towards Benghazi. There's pictures shown of the vehicles left off and the tanks on the road, and it looks like a very, very high energy beam hit them and just melted the steel down to nothing. Unless you have a very, very powerful Hellfire missiles, it looked like it actually.
Now you could get 19 American box cutter toting hijackers and fly planes into them and do the same thing.
Yes,
they did that on 9/11. To three skyscrapers.
Yeah, it looks like the whole convoy was melted, and that could have been done from space.
Oh, it's ridiculous what we hear. What is your sense? What as far as who's pulling the strings? They're not the names that we hear normally, are they?
No, it's the top Illuminati, and they're not in the. In the public domain at all. And you're even secret to the 300 who are probably, or the community of 300, and also the Fortune 500 corporations, the CEOs have no idea who the top ones are. People have been speculating as to who the Pindar is and who is supposed to be that very top person. And, I have no idea, and I've tried remote viewing it in previous years, and I don't get anywhere because there's so much blockage on it, so much diversions. Mm. And trying to be a fly on the wall in the Rothschilds mansion is very difficult too, because of the demonic things that they've caused to be using as protection for their own security.
Mm-hmm.
Also, even in the top banks in Switzerland, you can't get it. You have a difficult time looking in psychically as to what's happening. But that's getting that is weakening. Ken was mentioning that the etheric resistance team has been working on removing the demon clad. Structure of the whole New World Order, and it's coming down piece by piece by piece, and every once in a while we'll get a glimpse of what's actually who's ordering what to be done.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm getting from my efforts is just utter desperation.
Mm-hmm.
They are absolutely panicking, and that's what's accelerating the destructive events which they are manipulating from her hidden places.
Mm-hmm.
And they're losing. They're losing big time. They're getting it from all fronts. And
well, we've described war in space.
Yes.
That's going on. There's absolutely no doubt about that. And it's not, you know, people tend to think, oh, the American government is fighting someone. Well, actually, the American government is not what you think it is. You have to understand who's pulling the strings and who's in there, who's been implanted and has infiltrated the government. That's not, I'm not even going to use that term. Let me just say it's not a script from a movie. Movies are patterned after everyday events that actually occur. They like flaunting it and putting it in our face. But what we're witnessing is being scripted, and there is competition for this planet occurring at the same time. So they are being told to do one thing, and at the same time they're having to deal with more bad guys and the good guys. Okay, and there are, okay, the good guys, you could say, are any people on this planet who are bent, hell-bent, if you want to call it that, on obtaining absolute freedom and recognition of who we are as spiritual beings and honoring that and allowing society to honor that in its most fundamental ways of existence. That's what they don't want to occur, you see. They are the authors of fear. Therefore, they are the ones with the fear.
Yes.
I'm in agreement with you on that. Every clue that I follow leads me to that same thing. Why is it space? Why does it keep coming to space? Well, these beings came from space, and they've been here for a long time, and they've worked out deals, but you see, the corrupt government that can't keep a deal with its own people who, for whom it works, by the way, for whom it serves, they can't keep the responsibility and the oaths that they've taken there, and they can't keep the oaths they've taken with their cohorts, such as the reptilians, if you want to use a name and name a group. Okay? This is not fiction, folks. This is occurring. And that's why we're attacked when we bring it up. That's why all three of us tonight on the show undergo attacks. Mm-hmm. Because we're putting out the truth.
Right. So when there have been battles in space, and a few years ago a comet blew up and became a sphere of dust the size of Jupiter, a green, some people called it the blue star. That was a test, or that was a weapon used on that comet, a very, very powerful weapon. And it signaled to many, many people on Earth that they didn't want that weapon on Earth. And it probably terrorized a lot of even the Illuminati, or those on people on the sidelines of the Illuminati who knew enough to follow orders.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes question them. Now that they're concerned about the use of these horrific weapons, which could actually destroy the Earth, which are out in space right now or on the moon.
Yes. Well, gentlemen, as usual, when we get into an interesting conversation, we run out of time. We've got to close out the show. I want to give each of you an opportunity to make a closing comment to our listening audience, and understand that we're not promoting fear here. That's not what we're trying to do, but we're talking about what they're doing to promote fear. And once you recognize that yourself, you realize it's being done intentionally. There is no reason to fear anything. If these things are going to be so monstrous, there's a good word, good adjective, and we won't be able to stop them anyway. We'll all go. If it's going to be through an insane nuclear war, those that get a direct hit or in the proximity to become poisoned with radiation will succumb. There's not much you're going to be able to do about it. Worrying about it and being in a state of fear doesn't help it. You actually help the event occur when you have that state of mind. That's my comment, but go ahead. ZS, do you want to close out first?
Earlier you asked a question about what's happening in the Middle East there in Northern Africa. And one thing in the background, which and you also mentioned cap and trade. 2 years ago, there's a meeting regarding cap and trade in Copenhagen. In that meeting, the figures are gone over, and they were actually trying to bring extra money to the table for the third world countries, the poor countries. So the poor countries looked at cap and trade and soon realized that it would be just another World Bank way of squeezing money out of them. 70 of them walked out of the trade, out of that. Most of the Arab League, most of Africa, and a lot of Asian countries that couldn't afford it. They're already paying through the nose, probably half their gross national product to banks in London and New York for loans which were accrued by past dictators. One of the more vocal countries to walk away was Tunisia, and that was the first one to come down, because they couldn't afford cap and trade. On to Ken.
Okay. Well, thank you for that, Ken.
Yes, Don, I really appreciate what you had to say. It was exactly the sort of thoughts that I wanted to hear expressed. So you did a good job. And ZS as well, as always, has done a great job to add his part. People of the world need to keep their heads and keep their hearts. Use your intelligence to see beyond the doom and gloom manipulation. Keep your hearts. Have faith that there is a creator, and he loves all of his created beings. And you can get much more help if you simply ask for it. It's called prayer. You can call it focused intent. You can call it conversations with God. Just ask for help and it will come. We will overcome the New World Order. I'm quite certain of it. And it'll happen faster the more people who get on board by not, you know, accepting the doom and gloom stuff. Most of those people do not know that they are helping the Illuminati. They think they're doing something good and necessary. Like I did when I used to promote the Zeta Talk 12 planet stuff. I thought I was doing the right thing, but now I know better. So people who read doom and gloom stuff should see that they are being manipulated. The whole thing, mainstream media, even much of alternative media, is manipulated by the unseen hand of the Illuminati. Keep your head, keep your hearts. We are going to win this this game. And that's it for me. Thanks, Don.
Well, I appreciate you both staying up late to come on the show. And as usual, I enjoyed our conversation. Hopefully we opened up people's minds a bit to look at all the possibilities. Do we have all the answers? No. I would venture to speculate that even the ones perpetrating so much havoc and chaos upon the people of this planet don't have much of a clue themselves from time to time. And I know what they've been told and what the penalties will be for certain things that they do. And you have to trust that you can affect a change in a positive way, and you have to make that connection with the Creator. That's what my guests are really doing in their work every day. They may do it just by the articles they post and the research they do and the information they bring. They come under attack, and I don't mean just with words. They come under a demonic attack, a technological attack, technology developed by demons and being used by demons, demon-possessed beings people that lie to you day in and day out, steal from you day in and day out, and tell us they need more from us. It's just not enough. While they do insane things like disrupting the population of the country by allowing people to illegally come in to the country, putting poisons and toxins in your foods and your medicines and in your drinking water. And in your skies. The very air that you breathe is poison. These things are carried out by those that rule the planet. And they are happening. You can't say that you don't see them or you don't feel that something's not right. Something must be going on, even if you can't put your finger on it. Because you don't have all the answers, and I tell you, the three of us don't have all the answers, but we have a lot more answers than many others do. And the fact that we are attacked for putting the truth out is proof that we are putting the truth out. And it's up to you to do your own research. If you can't be convinced when you hear the truth, if you can't recognize the truth, you should be going inside yourself. You should be looking into your heart and tapping into the greater being that you are and the greater powers that you have available to you. That's what you should be doing. But only you can make that choice. I cannot command you to do it. And neither can a no-legged Mac Daddy sitting in Washington, D.C., right now probably playing golf in South America. While the whole world is falling apart, he's playing golf. Just think about it, folks. Think about who really cares and who really means what they say when they tell you something. Ken, ZS, I want to thank you for being on the show and contributing to this conversation. And I want to encourage a listening audience to go to educate-yourself.org and read what Ken puts up on his website. He gets millions of hits every month, meaning people all over the world are going to read his information. And you can read the essays of my other guest, Z.S. Livingstone, there, right on Ken's website. Gentlemen, thank you very much. And I look forward to your next visit on Evident Footprints.
Thanks, Don.
And that's going to be on the 31st, actually, of this month. So I'm looking forward to that.
Thank you, Don.
Okay. You gentlemen have a good night. Ladies and gentlemen, that wraps it up. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com with Ken Adachi and Z.S. Livingstone. Special thanks to Wind Talkers Radio Network. Over at BBS Radio tonight, we had Seth Hendrick on the sound. I want to thank Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, and most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join me tomorrow night when my special guest will be scientist, inventor, author, lecturer, and teacher, Jim Murray. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.